Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, students. Welcome to today's lesson summary review. Today we're going to be concluding our course entitled Cornerstones of Truth. This is one of the Bachelor's in Practical Ministry degree programs. And we're on session number 11 this week, which is entitled The Future, Revelation, Reward, and Rest. Now, the purpose of this session is to consider the biblical prophecies concerning future events, beginning with the rapture. The goal is to give students a general view of these events and to emphasize the need for preparing yourself for that moment when Christ shall come to take his church to be with himself. And as we always do, students, we want to take some time for personal preparation now through prayer. We realize that we must pray for much wisdom in conducting as well as studying this lesson. We must be reminded that we do not want to be dogmatic about the exact order in which future events will occur and that we cannot know the exact timetable. As we go through this week's lesson, we're going to see that the account that is given in our study guide is the view that is generally held by dependable Bible scholars. However, again, we want to warn everyone, students and teachers alike, that while we can be certain that these prophecies that we study today will be fulfilled, we want to be sure to understand that the events may not happen in the exact ways that we may commonly expect them. Many of you who studied this course, or those who listen to this review, may ask questions that the Bible does not specifically give an answer to. And so we don't try to be the know-all about all things. We simply must rely on the reliable text of Scripture that speaks directly to each of the issues or the questions that you may have. So let us take time now to pray for one another. Let's pray for every student, every staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary. We want to pray now, Father, that you will meet our individual needs. Father, we pray that you will spur each of our students as well as our staff members to continue Christian maturity. Help us to understand the teaching that you will have us to learn today. Aid us by your Holy Spirit in giving us wisdom and understanding. Help us to embrace the truth that will be revealed to us. And help us to live in anticipation of your glorious return. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review today. We're concluding the course, Cornerstones of Truth, which dealt with Bible doctrine. And our final session is session 11, entitled The Future, Revelation, Reward, and Rest. Now, to begin this week's lesson review, I want you to make note of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. This scripture passage is commonly referred to as the blessed hope of the believer. And so I want to read this as we begin this lesson review. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it reads, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Verse 17, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." This is the foundational text that we want to use as we study this lesson about the future, revelation, reward, and rest. We see that Paul mentions that Christ would indeed return to the early believers. We also understand as we look at the text of Scripture that our study guide refers us to that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus will be on the throne, and that living conditions in this new creation will be ideal or perfect. So I'd like to ask you, students, what right do you have to be among the persons who will enjoy this new life in this new world? There's no right or wrong answer, of course, to that question. It simply wants you to think about what makes you worthy or qualified to receive such a reward. Some of the things that you may want to think about as you answer this question is, will it be based on one's church membership? Will it be his or her prominence in the church? Will it be his or her great works for Christ, or their gifts for money, or things they did for good causes? What if a person was once saved, but his love for God has grown cold? Will one's faithfulness or unfaithfulness affect this right? Think about this question as it relates to yourself personally, and think about some of those questions that we presented to you for food for thought. And I pray that as you review your study guide and as you think about these questions, I want you to be able to write down your views about these issues, about what you think about them in light of what you studied in your lesson. And I like to emphasize and make clear to each and every student that it is only those whose sins have been forgiven and are keeping themselves pure who will enter into this new creation that we speak of. You can see a reference for this in Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 15. So we want to make sure that we understand that it's not based on any of the other questions that we ask. It's not based on your church membership. It's not based on your prominence in the church. It's not based on the great works that you do for Christ or your gifts of money to good causes. It's not based on whether you were once saved and your love has grown cold. It is simply based on those whose sins have been forgiven and are keeping themselves pure who will enter this creation. So the blood of Jesus Christ, faith in him, living a life after him, and receiving the salvation that Jesus brings is what entitles us to receive this future reward. Now let's take a look at our major heading for this lesson review, which is the revelation of the end time drama. Now, we know that if we look at the Bible, the book of Revelation is the final book of what we call the Christian Bible. And it is a book that has a promise attached to it for those who read it and study it. So I pray that because you have submitted yourself to the study of God's Word, that the blessings of promise and the promise of blessings that are contained in this book will be upon your life. So let's get a little deeper into some of the discussion questions that our study guide brought to our attention. Now, we have an exercise sheet for this particular section of the lesson. If you're studying along with us, you can contact us at the school email address, and we'll provide you with a copy of the exercise sheet. We may also get an opportunity to post this on our Facebook page for Grace Bible College and Seminary. But if you have a blank sheet of paper, you can jot down the question and some of your responses to these questions as we go through each of the questions of this exercise. Now, the first question that we want to ask in relation to this session is, do you expect the first resurrection and the rapture of the church to happen soon? And if so, why? I want you to try to write down your response to that question if you have not already answered it as you studied your lesson. Question again, do you expect the first resurrection and the rapture of the church to happen soon? And if so, why? Now, as we look at our study guide and review the material that we studied, We understand that the signs of the times tell us the rapture may occur very soon. Now, the Bible was written, over the course of 1,400 years. And, of course, at the time it was written, these things were anticipated and expected even at those times. Now, of course, the Bible teaches us that a day is like 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. So we cannot be dogmatic, as we mentioned earlier, about exact timetables of when events occur. But the Bible does mention about signs of the times and that the end of all things could happen soon. We understand some of these things by the fulfillment of scriptures. We see the conditions in the Middle East indicate that the prophecies of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, for example, may be fulfilled in the near future. We see that the establishment of the nation of Israel is another indication of fulfillment of prophecy. And so, as we look at the scripture text, both Old and New Testament, there we know of no other prophecy that must be fulfilled before the rapture must occur, except that which Jesus gave us in the New Testament says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. It is likely, students, for us to assume that we're in that season now where the gospel is being proclaimed to all nations. Even we're using this platform through Grace Bible College and Seminary, where the courses are available in more than 20 different languages to reach every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation of the earth. So this is also one of the things that will precede the return of Christ Jesus, is the proclamation of the gospel to all nations. The second question we want to answer in our exercise today is, if we believe our Lord may come and take us out of this world at any moment, should we make any long-term plans? For example, how should this affect our planning in such matters as extending to education or starting a new business, making investments, or raising a family? I want you to think about these questions. Think about that question for a moment. If we're expecting the Lord to return at any moment, should we make any long-term plans in regards to acquiring education, starting a business, making investments, or raising a family? Now, if you study through your lesson guide, and I want to bring your to your attention now, is that the Lord wants us to remain active in his service until the very moment of his appearing. You can see a reference for this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And whatever we believe God's will is for our lives, saints, we should continue doing it until Jesus comes. There was a wise man that once said, we should plan ahead as though Jesus will not come for many years, and we should live as though he will come at any moment. So, of course, even though we expect and look forward to Christ's return, we continue to diligently serve and to follow God's will until that day comes. For no man, as Jesus says in the New Testament text, that no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man does return. So stay faithful in living for Christ and serving Christ and accomplishing his will in the earth is what we need to do, students. Our third question is this. If a person puts off his salvation until the rapture occurs, is he likely to accept Christ and be saved during the Great Tribulation? And I want, if you say no, I want you to tell about some of the problems that may prevent a person or make it difficult for them to accept Christ during the period of the Great Tribulation. Now, if you review this session of your lesson, we understand that it will be difficult for a person to accept Christ and to live for him during the Great Tribulation. And some of the reasons why this is so is because all believers will have been taken from the earth, and there will be no Bible preaching churches. For this is the moment where Paul talks about where the dead in Christ would rise first, and then after that will follow the Great Tribulation. And so these are some of the issues that would make it difficult for a person to accept Christ. Not impossible, but made it difficult for a person to accept Christ during the Great Tribulation. And also we need to make note of the fact that if a person refuses to worship the image of the Antichrist as described in the Bible, it says that he will be killed. Reference for this is Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. So with that in mind, it is not likely that anyone who is not willing to serve God today would be willing to pay that price in the Great Tribulation. Also, take a look at Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, where it talks a little bit about this. So, students, we need to understand that the day of salvation is now, not then. It is not something we want to gamble with, not something we want to put off until a more opportune time, because no one knows the day nor the time that Christ shall return. So if you take note of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, see where the Apostle Paul says, For today is the day of salvation. So it's not something we want to put off. And this is one of the reasons why we're so thankful to have each and every one of you as studying as students with us. And prayerfully, each and every one of you have made the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, being baptized in his name for the remission, the forgiveness of your sins, so that you can receive his Holy Spirit to live a transformed and abundant life by which you will be recognized as belonging to Christ when these times or days that we speak about today occurs. So that was question number 3. Our fourth and final question that we want to address today is this. As we studied the lesson, we read about what's called the millennial period. So many people during the millennial will join Satan in a rebellion against the Lord. If you look at your study guide on page 267, I want to ask you this question. How is it that people who live under the kind rule of Jesus as king turn on him after the millennium? How is it that people who lived under the kind rule of Christ as king, where Satan has been bound and the gospel is being clearly presented without hindrance or deception, how could they, after the millennium, turn against Jesus and be made to believe that they can succeed in opposing him? What is your answer to that question, students? As you studied your text, and as you look to the scripture text in Revelation, it talks about after Satan is loosed again, that he will go forth to deceive the nation. But prior to him being loosed again, those that were living in what commonly referred to as the millennium rule of Christ, millennium usually means a 1,000-year period where Christ is ruling in the earth and all are being exposed to the truth concerning him, and then after that time, Satan will be loosed. So the scriptures tell us that many people will still be subject to being deceived by the enemy or Satan. And here's some of the reasons why. We study in our lesson that there will be people living during the millennium who do not seem to love the Lord with all their heart. They may be obeying Christ's commands, but they only do it because they have to, not because they want to. So when Satan is set free from his prison, he will deceive many of these people, just as he deceived Eve and Adam in the garden. He will tell them that Christ is too strict. He will say that he will make great promises, and he will convince them that it will be easier to live under his reign than under Christ's reign. In other words, you have freedom and liberty to do as you want to do, and that no one should be able to tell you or determine or command you to do certain things. Now, as we think about this part of our lesson, there's a lesson here for us. If we really love God, we will want to please him, and we will not find his commands burdensome. You can see a reference for this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. So you see why this lesson is very important, saints. As we talk about the future return, Christ even said he will return. Angels declared that Christ will return. So it's important that we think about these matters and determine where we are in light of this week's study. So in conclusion, I want to remind you of some key truths that's contained in this lesson about the future. Here are some of the key truths that you should get from this week's lesson. We understand from Daniel's prophecy concerning 69 weeks, or the 70 weeks that would be fulfilled. So we understand that 69 weeks was fulfilled very definitively in Scripture. And so if those first 69 weeks were fulfilled of Daniel's 70-week prophecy, we know that what was prophesied concerning the 70th week, or the 7 years, will certainly happen as well. So there's no reason why God would fulfill all that portion of prophecy and then negate the last part of Daniel's prophecy. A second point I want to remind you of is that we are sure Jesus will return because he promised that he would. He says in John chapter 14, verse 3, "I will come back and take you to be with me," Christ said. We also see in Scripture that the angels told the disciples, "The same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." You can see a reference for that in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Another thing we can remind you of concerning the truth of the future is this: when Jesus returns, the first resurrection will occur, and only those who died in faith will be raised back to life again. Then he goes on to say that we who are still alive will be caught up at the same moment, and we will ascend or rise to meet them in the air. That is contained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. Another thing we can be reminded of is the second resurrection will not occur until 1,000 years after this, what we call the rapture, has happened. You can see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, this will be the resurrection of the wicked, who will be sentenced to eternal punishment at the great white throne if their name does not appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. See this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Also, students, we believe the Great Tribulation will last 7 years, as explained in the study guide. And at the end of the revelation of Christ, he will come and set up his kingdom, and then he will rule on earth 4,000 years. I also like to comment that the Bible does not tell us everything we would like to know about the future, but it does give us everything we need to know. But we realize that being human, we are very curious. We wish we knew everything that is going to happen. So we need to remember that prophecy is not for speculation. Instead, it is for confirmation. It is for giving us assurance. We see also in text that Jesus told his disciples about his betrayal ahead of time and said, I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. This is the same reason why we share these scriptures and why we study this book of Revelation and why we're studying the Word of God. You can see a reference for this in John chapter 13, verse 19. And students, we also understand the prophecies more clearly when they are fulfilled, and it strengthens our faith as we discover that God foretold these things in advance. So let us definitely heed the word and the prophecies written in the book of Revelation, and let us share those and pray that those who hear them will receive them as well. So finally, students, I want to encourage you that if you are ready to meet Christ when he comes for his church, then we really do not need to be greatly concerned with the details of the Great Tribulation and some of the other events that will follow. Our greatest concern should be the, what we call the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ, when our work for him will be examined and evaluated. So what is our greatest need in studying this lesson, this course, Cornerstones of Truth? Well, our greatest need is to be watchful and ready for his appearing at all times. We can see a reference in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, with Christ's own words saying that he will come as a thief in the night, at a day and an hour in which we think it's not. So let's be ready, always diligent, serving the Lord, preparing ourselves in anticipation for his return, but also doing our part to obey God's will to proclaim this gospel of the kingdom to all nations. And as the scripture says, and then the end will come. So I thank you, students, for studying through this course with us. We look forward to the next courses that we will study along with you. May the peace, may the power, and the presence of our Lord continue to be manifested richly in your life. Feel free to contact us if you have any questions or you'd like a copy of the exercise sheet, and we'll be more than happy to get a copy to you. Again, students, thank you. We appreciate and value each of you as a part of the GBCS family. Until our next session, God bless you, and good day.